Good evening, everyone. It is Gary and John and Sam tonight in this campfire conversation. And what we want to talk about, which we have done now, gosh, I don't know, for 5 or 6 years. Sam, does that sound right? This Transcender Pursuit?
I think 2012 was our first one. So that would have made, this would make this the seventh.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So years ago, so 7 years ago, 2012, we started with an idea this time of month of creating a transcendent pursuit. Transcendent, again, meaning something that's bigger than ourselves. It even transcends the year that we're looking at, 2019. It even transcends our current understanding. It has the idea that as we write down, articulate what we believe God has put on our heart for next year, that more understanding will come as we actually venture into it versus that we have it all at this point. So it transcends the year, it transcends our life, it transcends even our understanding to some degree. And then it's a pursuit, that this is something that has great value and meaning and has weightiness and desire and passion to it. So we talked about let's dig into our heart, ask God, spend time with him, and come up with a transcendent pursuit. Again, something larger, something beyond the mundane in our life. And it has elements. It has the three essential elements of love, faith, and what's the third one? I forgot the three.
Hope.
Love, joy.
Faith, hope, and love.
And hope. Thank you. Faith, hope, and love. I couldn't put it in sequence, so I couldn't remember it. So it should have everything to do and require those three things. Now let me start off by saying, and I could be wrong about John and Sam, but we are just venturing into this at this point. I mean, I have a page where I have just been trying to just freely write what is on my heart as I've gone through a lot of the questions that I've emailed you. But I haven't really put it together to the point where it feels like this is it. It's kind of like the picture exercise that you probably all have done, where you start off with, 60 pictures and you have to narrow it down to 40 or so. And that's a hard process. And then you have to put words to it. That's what this feels like to me. But I also know the value, the importance, and really the transcendence and revelation of this. So let me start off by asking John and Sam, you guys, any other thoughts about this transcendent pursuit idea?
Well, I wanted to say that for me, I think, so this, I did the math. My math is wrong. This will be our eighth time. So 2018 was our seventh transcendent pursuit year. And I would say that each year, what I've tried to do at the end of the year is sit down and say, what do I think God has been working or stirring or intriguing me with? And I sort of want to crystallize it. And I would say, okay, if God's been stirring, raising something up in me, I want to articulate it and then really pursue it. And, the first year we did it, Gary, you and I were just babbling once, I think between Christmas and New Year's, and saying, yeah, I never do New Year's resolutions, but I wouldn't mind making a change in my life. And, you and I were talking about it. So you came up with the term transcendent pursuit. And that year, I immediately said, what I want to do is reflect and express. And that year is when I really started to blog seriously. And I did 48 blogs out of 52 weeks, 48 articles. And I feel like God really did something in me. And it changed my life. I mean, now it's a part of my life as opposed to just sort of a little thing I was doing on the side. 2 years ago, I decided I want to learn how to live life as an artist. And now, Gary, you and John have seen sort of a talk I've given out of that, but I feel like it's changed my perspective on life is try to figure out how to live like an artist. And last year, I sort of did John 15, Abide in Christ, but it morphed into the life of God in me. We've talked a lot about the new heart, and I ended up saying, okay, I like the idea of the new heart, but I also want to pursue the idea of what does it mean to have the life of God in me, and what will my, what, how does my life look different when I'm acting out of the life of God in me versus just the flesh in me, the natural heart, if you will, as opposed to the supernatural heart. So that's the first year we did it, 2 years ago and last year, and every year it's been very significant for me. I mean, I feel like they were all started by a little inkling from God, and when I took some time to think about it, it became a wonderful pursuit for the whole year that I think was life-changing. I don't think my life will ever be the same after any one of those years. So wow. I guess I want to both encourage it by saying it's really changed my life, and I want to say one of the ways we do it, I think sometimes, is just what is the thing that God's been stirring in you? And let's just take it seriously. So
yep.
That's what I would say, Gary.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah. And I'm glad you shared that story about the very first one, because that one of the things I do each year is I go back and listen to all of the Transcendent Pursuit conversations we had just to kind of get kept caught up. And I remember you sharing that in a previous year, and it just struck me how powerful this is. My first few years doing it, I really didn't treat it quite right. To me, it was just a little bit more than a New Year's resolution. And a few years ago, I began to think, okay, well, what has been the activity of God in my life lately? And what is he up to at this point? And look at it from that perspective. So what's he been up to, and where do I see him taking me in the future? So what specific things do I need to pursue to stay on track with what he's been up to? And that has been very helpful, which it actually leads into this year's pursuit, which I'll talk about later. But that's just been very helpful to me to take a look at a little bit of history the last few years, what God's been up to, and then think in terms of where I want to go with him in the future.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good.
You know, it's sort of like taking a concentrated retreat over the whole year. I mean, you're not retreating the whole year, but you've got a theme for the whole year, for a retreat of seeking God in some area.
Yeah. 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 That's good. And the, kind of the picture I have in my mind that helps me is I kind of feel like, you know, in the retreat idea kind of thing or a meeting, I feel like I'm just trying to write down on a whiteboard. I'm literally not doing it on a whiteboard, but like I'm writing it on a whiteboard with God, and I've given him the eraser. I can write all this stuff down, and I kind of feel his pleasure in just writing stuff, dreaming stuff, what if? And then, but he's got permission to write, to erase things off the board, because he knows best what is possible, what isn't. And so that's why I'm kind of enjoying having an 8.5 by 11 sheet filled with ideas, and then going back and just saying, so what do you think about that, God? Is that real, or is that just in the moment right now, or is this something that you want to pull me towards, but I don't understand it yet? I'm not even writing it down correctly, but it's a starting point. So the only one of the things that has hit me, and it's possible because I'm in two things. Because I'm in Christmas season, we all are, and number two, because, you know, I am in my fourth quarter right now. And so when I was at the Zoe Advanced Retreat, you know, we were going through Michael's The Stages of Masculine Development, and the last stage was sage. So according to age, I'm sage. That's all I'm going to say right there. So I'm supposed to be anyway. So what really occurred to me was, this is a broad stroke. I can't quite call this a transcendent pursuit, but it's at least the doorway in. And I thought, you know what? I have experienced ministry past, ministry present, and ministry future, and I want to live with all three in my heart, as in the movie.
Christmas past, Christmas present, Christmas future.
Exactly. Very good, Sam. Very good. You just caught it right there. Perfect.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
So I'll talk slower for Sam now. So,
see, you're the sage. You're at that point where you're smart, but you got to give us time to catch up.
Exactly.
We're not 80 years old yet.
Yeah, but it's good here. The weather's good here at 80. So here's to be, you know, serious for a second. I really did feel like God was saying to me, Gary, I want you to glean from ministry past, and there are some things from ministry past I want you to let go of now. They are either inappropriate now and going in the future, or they were inappropriate there. But nonetheless, some things hold on to and some things let go of. The same for present, ministry present, meaning, you know, the more recent amount of time in my life. What do I hold on to? What do I let go of? Because certain things just will not travel well into the future, ministry future. And so I do feel like that's an overarching theme for me as I look at this transcender pursuit, ministry past, ministry present, ministry future, or ministry to come, as the author wrote in that story. So I'll stop there for a second, but that's my beginning.
So do you have any, you know, can you put any meat on the bones of what you're, you know, if I were to say right now, ministry past, present, or future, what would you say in those areas? Or aren't you there yet?
Well, I'm just starting to get there. So let me give you a current example of where I started to kind of feel this, even before I articulated it in this way. So one of Lee's friends who dances ballroom at the same studio that she goes to is the wife of the president of Compassion International. And so she invited Lee and I to come to a Compassion International staff Christmas party. It was for staff and family and friends. So we went to this, and it was at New Life Church. They brought in several of their, you know, big name music groups that go out and they play and then speak of compassion for them about their kids. And it was a very fun evening. And it was really amazing to be with, I think they had 800 people there or so. Well, I think they have 800 staff at the headquarters. I don't know how many people are there. But Lee was talking to Jimmy, who is the president, after it was all over, and said, Jimmy, what are the pressures that you face as the president of this global ministry? And he said, probably the biggest thing is aligning all of the staff. He said, you know, the 800 staff in our, you know, in our office, the another 250 around the country, the thousands that are around the country that really are church staff, but we've given them money to hire them to work with children. And he said, it's just all this alignment, you know, from vision to staff to people to IT to all these things. And in the past, I would tell you that I would have been very jealous. I would have thought, oh, man, I wish I was back in that world again with, you know, the buzz of all this activity and staff and things going on and creativity and new ventures. And I didn't feel any of that. And it was so striking. I was very aware of it that I thought, you know what, if Jimmy turned around and said, I'd like to hire you as a vice president or something here, I would have no interest. And yet that would have been my dream years ago. And that is a big shift in me to realize I really want to work with individuals. And I mean, you know, small group-ish, if you will, individuals at a heart level and help them figure out their walk with God, the walk he has given them in their calling, the glory of their life, and encourage them to walk in it. That's really what I want to do. So that felt like giving up something from ministry past that God was saying, right, this is a different era for you now. I have a different focus for you. So that's very different than the past.
Gary, what would have been the draw for you to take that position, say, 20 years ago, that's no longer there?
Repeat it one more time. I had the heater in my ear, so I couldn't hear you.
Oh.
Say it again.
What would have been the draw? What would have been the motivator for you to have something like that 20 years ago?
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, I loved in my earlier years, I loved, you know, working with a number of staff and helping, you know, just helping give them vision, walk with them, help them with strategy, help them see how they fit into the bigger picture that I was in versus their bigger picture, their story. And helping them understand their story and the story that their story fits into, God's story. I love that kind of thing. Plus, I really love the idea that there were, you know, staff out there, people who had all these different forms of expertise, or now we would say artistry, you know, and watching that happen. But it was always for the goal, the context in which I lived, right, the organization I was in.
Yeah.
And now I love seeing people kind of sent out in all these different areas, you know, fulfilling the assignments that God has just given them. So it's just different in that way. Yeah. Okay, so that was me for quite a while. What about one of you guys?
I can go.
Okay.
I would say that I'm a little torn. So my first instinct is to realize when we were at base camp this last year in September, I found in a folder Gary asked something at opening a base camp. I don't remember what it was, Gary, but it was sort of like, what season are you in or what's going on? I don't remember what it was. Sorry, Gary. And I realized my feeling at that moment was I felt like I was overwhelmed, that I'd been overwhelmed for several years, and that I really hadn't been fruitful. I sort of felt like I've been busy but not fruitful. And then that night, so that was Thursday at base camp. Thursday night, I was going through a folder of some base camp stuff. And the year before, you had asked something similar. What season are you in? And I had said, I am overwhelmed. I feel like I've just got too many things going on, too much to do and too little time to do it. And I thought, oh, my gosh, that's 2 years in a row. And I bet I would have said the same thing 3 years ago. And then, Gary, you, John, and I spent some time in October at my house doing some planning. And I was sitting there thinking, my grandfather died when he was 71. My father died a week after he turned 70. My mother's father died when he was 70. My grandmother's both died when they were in their 60s. There's a good chance, you know, my genes are saying there's a good chance I could pass away and, you know, when I turn 70, 9 years from now. And I've been thinking, if I knew for sure that I was going to die in 9 years, what would I do? What would I let go and say, I'm not going to do that anymore? So, and then I'm preaching at a church, you know, in a city close to us in a week and a half, and they asked me to preach it on Psalm 90. And a verse in Psalm 90 says, so teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. And I thought, you know, there's a certain way I'm thinking, I do want to number my days. I want to say, okay, realistically, you know, how many days do I have left and what is God calling me to? And if that's what God's calling me to, what am I doing what should I let go and what should I invest in more? So my first idea is to say, I might just want to say, Lord, I want to figure out how to number my days. I want to figure out what is the balance you want for me in my life? Where do you want me to invest my few remaining years? Because, you know, maybe I'll live to, you know, I'll probably live to 70. Maybe I'll just live to 80. But I'm on the downhill slope of my life, you know. And I want to number my days. I want to say, God, what are you calling me to do? And let go of the things that you aren't calling me to do.
Yeah.
Now, another thing that I've been thinking about is I really just have been stirred by God over the last couple of years about the whole idea of cultural creep, how our culture has invaded Christianity. And I'm not talking about the obvious ones of the sexual immorality or the greed or something. I feel like somehow God has, or somehow the world has infected us so that those messages which wouldn't have stuck 50 years ago stick today. You know, somehow 50 years ago, we would have said, yeah, I know, that's just a temptation. But today, we sort of give in to some of those things. So what is it that's changed in us, hiddenly, that all of a sudden some of these temptations are more appealing, more attractive, more alluring? So on one hand, I want to say, teach me to number my days. On the other hand, I want to talk maybe about cultural creep, and I don't know between those two which one I should pursue.
Yeah. So let me go back to the first thing you said. Is there something that you feel like because I think that hit John and I together as well, this idea of, gosh, what if I really only had 9 more years or 5 more years or 1 more year? Is there anything that came to you that, yeah, I wouldn't be doing this anymore, so I'm really going to call this into question right now?
Well, you know, I think I said to you guys at the time that some changes have been made in my life. I had been pastoring a church for the last 5 years, and I finally got us, we merged with another church, so a huge amount of responsibility was lifted off my shoulders. At the same time, for the last 4 years, Carl and I were preparing our house to sell it, selling it, looking for a new house, so that we could do retreats. And now I think we have a house. And like you, Gary, I like to do small retreats. I mean, there's something I like when we do a retreat of 15 people or 20 people, because it's so personal. We sit at the same dinner table and we have breakfast and coffee together. And I think that, so I would say I want to let go of some of the things that, I think that I want to help people walk intimately with God. I think that's really what I want to do. I want to, you know, talk about hearing God more. I believe helping people walk in their calling is a way of helping people walk intimately with God. If it's a calling from God, we're really doing it through the life of God in us. And so I think part of helping people walk intimately with God is helping them find their calling and walk into it, because it is a partnership. I think Chambers calls it comradeship with God. And you know, I'd say another area in the whole intimacy with God is I just meet so many people who don't get much life from Scripture. They read C.S. Lewis, or they read John Eldridge, or they read other people, but they don't read Scripture. And I really like Scripture. I start my day reading it, and I enjoy it. And I want to help other people enjoy it, because I think it's a way of being intimate with God. So I think I would focus more on ways I can help people grow in their intimacy with God. And the other ways, I think I would just say, if this is not really following that, I want to let it go. I think I told you guys once, my dad's motto when he was looking for new churches was, his motto was, I want to introduce Christians to Christ, you know?
Yeah, I love that. That's good.
I like that one. I feel like that fits me too, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, Sam, one of the questions that I had written as I was spending, again, more time on this afternoon was similar to what you said, you know, hey, you know, this is when my dad passed away and grandfather and so on, and what if I – so I was – but I hadn't thought about that, but the question I wrote is – and this was in the email, I think, that if 2019 is to be my legacy year, in other words, this is going to define the legacy that I leave, what would I want it to look like? And I thought, okay, that just put it in perspective for me, because if this is the final and lasting effect right here, what's that going to be? And so for me, and John, I do want to get to you, I'm sorry. You know, I do want to focus this year in a different way on my kids, on my grandkids, and on my wife. I just want to have a different focus this year. It's, you know, it's life past, life present, life future. So anyway, that's a great point, Sam.
That's good, Gary.
Mm-hmm.
John.
Well, mine goes back to the last 3 years or so of my life that's been a real big transition period. And I'm transitioning out of my career, but into the unknown. And the last 2 years have been, it's just been a real busy time of making this transition. The last 6 months or so, I found myself with incredible amounts of free time, and I wasn't sure what to do with it. And sometimes I would pursue getting together with other guys, which is something I really just love to do, just meet one-on-one. But as I have been pursuing what this transcendent pursuit should be for 2019, it's just like God said, I've been working in your life for the last several years to give you a lot of empty spaces. It's now time to start filling in those empty spaces. And so right now I'm first trying to identify what kind of things do I want to fill those empty spaces with. You know, and there's just all kinds of things I could potentially fill it with, but the question is, what is it? It's kind of like what you said, Gary, about what you're zeroing in on what is the most compelling thing in your heart. And that's what I want to do, is I want to zero in on only those things that I'm truly compelled to do. And that may involve shedding some more things, but right now I'm just trying to identify what are those activities that would help me spend more time one-on-one or in small groups with men locally here in Birmingham, where I can do it over the long run and on a regular basis. And anyway, that's kind of along the lines of where my pursuit is right now. One of the things I wanted to also mention, because we talked about letting go of things, one of the things I realized I need to let go of, it's the same thing, it's been my life lie that the enemy has thrown at me, and that is that, well, nobody cares, just be quiet, don't pursue anything. You have nothing to offer, nobody cares, and even if you do have something to offer, nobody cares, so just be quiet. And I continually find myself falling prey to that lie. So it is going to require ignoring that lie and continuing to pursue relationships with other men, regardless of the voice in my ear that says, they don't want to meet with you, they don't want to hear from you, you know, all those things. So I really need to let go of that lie and let go of its grip on me.
You give us permission to remind you of that.
You know what, Sam? We don't need his permission. Sam asked if you would give us permission to go after you on that, and I said, we don't need your permission, John. So John, what's intriguing is, you know, where God is, you know, you just said God has given me all sorts of extra time now. He's given me more discretionary time, and He wants to now fill that time. And of course, that sentence, that lie, that accusation, that assault has to, you know, you have to come against that, because that will take away your ability to fill that time with what God has for you. That's pretty exciting. That's pretty exciting to be in that place that you're in right now, I think.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I'm in a place that I have longed for many, many years, and it's just kind of exciting to see. Even today, I had lunch with one of my best friends, and we sat there talking about, we have pondered and tossed around the idea of putting together a group of men who could just meet in a fellowship on a regular basis. And we both just, we said, we've been talking about this for years. Okay, we're going to do something in January to get this thing started. So
yeah,
it was just kind of fun for both of us to say, okay, we're taking action now. We're not waiting any longer.
Yeah, that's really good. Well, so I'll mention a few specifics here that I have written down, but not in a form where I feel like it'll stick. It's not sticky yet. I think that was Leonard Sweet that talked about that, Vern. Anyway, but you have to understand, I'm a little intimidated because, you see, Michael Thompson's on the phone and so is Robin, and they are always, always trying to, which I love, trying to get us to move out to North Carolina to be part of the Zoe team. So I'm afraid I'm giving him ammo. I think that's why he's listening to this actually right now. So, but I'm going to throw out some things that my heart is stirred about so far, but I'll see what God kind of takes the eraser to on the whiteboard and says, not yet, or let's go at rearticulating this a different way. So there's just some things that are on my heart. Like, for instance, I do feel like this is a year, 2019 is to write the next book. I've been talking about it for a while. I think it's time to do that. I would really like to see what we have been doing in way of helping people, you know, understand, believe, own, walk out their calling. We need to expand this. And I don't mean necessarily in numbers of people at the retreat or numbers of retreat. I think it's in different ways, you know, from podcasts to videos to articles to, and here's another one, to training people. I really feel like this is the time now for those who really want to do this. This is their heart. This is the compelling. To say, we will do everything we can to train you and equip you to do this. It cannot rely on just a few of us to do this. You know, another one is I've always had a dream of getting some of the top voices on calling together and do a live streaming conference on this. Different voices, different views of biblically what is calling. How does that play out today? How do we find others? How do we help others find that? I would love to get those voices on a conference. Another one is this idea that I brought up before but still haven't moved on it because I think it's percolating, it's formulating. And then it's this idea of doing a video called Legends of the Call where we pick a handful of people and just go into their story on video of, you know, how do they start to become aware of this? How has God been training them? What was it like trying to walk this out? How did that turn into being a training and honing time? I think there's something very powerful about doing that. And I think there's some that need to be on it that if we don't do it soon, they won't be able to be on it. And then the last thing is, I had a category, what do I want to learn? And I really do want to learn more about story, understanding it, seeing it, deciphering it, putting it together. I want to go deeper on counseling. I want to go deeper in my understanding of what biblically do the sage years look like? What are they to look like? You know, I want to learn more about deep friendship and deep community and helping people live in their calling. I just want to go deeper now in those things. You know, so part of my transcendent pursuit would be to figure out how, by what means, you know. So those are some of my specifics, though they're not final yet. You guys, any before we wrap up our time?
I just want to say my heart is jumping up and down, and I think others are responding. When you said you weren't ready to write another book, I think we're ecstatic for you to do that and to get it.
Yeah, good. Thank you. Yep.
You know, for me, I think that I do think that I want to take some time this year to rebalance my life, to number my days. But I also think specifically I really want to help people grow in intimacy with God, with hearing God, with seeing God, with hearing God in Scripture, with escaping the sort of toxic influence of the world. And so I think in some ways I want to figure out how I can invest my life in helping people grow with really knowing God personally, hearing Him, knowing Him, experiencing Him, and sort of letting go of some of the other bureaucratic or administrative or even leadership things that you know, I just don't care about anymore. I also think I should try to figure out how to talk Gary and John into moving to Michigan. Because I got a lot of nice property here. It'd be really great to have you guys living close. It's better than Colorado. It's better than the East Coast.
I'm shivering.
You guys are in a transition. You should probably transition your way here. How does that sound?
Well, hey. Well, all I know is that Michael said he would
increase
my salary.
That's my transcendent pursuit, is to talk you guys into coming here.
Well, I'm just saying, you got to put your money where your mouth is, man. Michael offered me a Tahoe. He offered me an increased salary and a free fleece with Zoe on it. So
I'll let you use my grill.
Oh, use it. Cook your meals. I got it. So, let me just say for everyone who's listening, and this is a great crowd right now. We would love for you to share with us what your transcendent pursuit is as you're developing it, even if it's in stages, even if it's in draft form, draft 1, 2, 3, final. We would love for you to do that. And so John had created a forum. I don't know if you did it, John. Did you do that on Secret Garden as well as?
Oh, no, I didn't. I sure didn't.
Okay. So we'll create a page for that, but we'd love for you to share that because it's inspirational. Secondly, it's remembrance that writing forces you to detangle your thoughts through your fingers. So we would love for you to share those things, and we'll share ours as well, maybe, you know, two or three versions of it as we work it through. And also, I want to encourage you to you know, start, since we're talking about transcendent pursuit, you know, start with, I don't know how to say this other than start with the poetic, start with the artistic, start with pictures, start with lyrics, start there and then move into more specifics. I mean, that's what I was asking God for, and that's where all of a sudden this phrase came to me, you know, the ghost, if you will, because it goes with the Christmas carol, but the ghost of ministry past, ministry present, ministry future, until I got said, start there, just live there for a while. Let that play out in your heart, because you love the story, it's something bigger. So I would encourage you, if you can, start with the, and ask God for the poetic, the artistic, the lyrical, you know, pictures, that kind of thing. And then let him work that into detail. Any final words, John, Sam?
I think that's good.
Yeah, just do it.
Yep. Good. So, everyone, we'll get that page up, Basecamp and Secret Garden. We'd love for you to be part of that. And thank you for joining us. I'm not sure when the next Basecamp campfire conversation will be. Just because we've got Christmas next week, and a week after that is New Year's, and then a week after that, I know I'm on the road. I'm on the road to North Carolina, Lee and I. And then after that, Sam is coming out to do a Hearing God conference at our church. So we just have a number of things going on, so we'll let you know about the next one. But what Sam and John and I would like to say is Merry Christmas. We hope you have a great Christmas time, that it really is joyful, it really is rejuvenating, worshiping. So we hope and pray for you the best Christmas ever. So,
yeah.
Everyone, good night. Thank you for joining us. See ya.